I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for June 18th, 2012 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown.
Here.
Katie Cathelini.
Here.
Doug Gino.
Here.
Sandy Hussman.
Here.
Mark Lutke.
Here.
Todd Yonder. Mary Westfall.
Here.
Six members of council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. Mr. Milner is out of town and excused. I welcome all of you to our council chambers. It's nice to have so many interested residents. If we come to an item on the agenda that you wish to speak and have new information about that item that you have not spoken of before, I will recognize you. If you're new and don't know what's been said, then obviously you can't go by that rule, but I can, and I will enforce it. At this time, I invite all of you to join in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Cappellini.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's the second day and time today I've done the Pledge of Allegiance. The first was at just before noon today down at the Lucas County Courthouse, where there was an 4 of 1812 commemoration, and they actually read the Declaration of War from the United States to start the War of 1812. Several dignitaries there, but a couple of facts I learned that I did not know before. The actual Star Spangled Banner was raised at the county courthouse, and it is the same flag that Francis Scott Key would have been looking at to write our national anthem. It has 15 stripes and 15 stars. Even though Ohio was the 17th state and had been a state for 9 years, it was not reflected on the flag, and neither was Tennessee. The flag was not updated until 1818, when Congress finally figured out how to reflect new states on the flag, because their earlier rule was to add a stripe and a star for every state, and they couldn't do that with stripes continuously. So they thought about it for a long time, and even though Ohio was a state, they were not on that flag during the War of 1812. I found that interesting. And the city may try to get one of those War of 1812 flags and fly it. They have particular dates when it will be legal to fly during the next 2.5 years of commemoration. If that were to agenda item 3, additions to the agenda, and we do have several this evening. Agenda item 3A will be to elect a president pro tem in the absence of President Milner. We will add as agenda item 4A, ordinance 39-2012 concerning the Lord's University PD. Also, there was a public hearing this evening before council that needs to be reported on. I'm not sure that anyone here was here for that particular issue, so I'll add it down at the end of the agenda as 13, report on the public hearing, and ordinance 25-2012. With that, are there items to be added? Mr. Lutke.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have two committee reports. One of them will turn into a committee referral. The first is a report on the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting of last week regarding the downtown plan. The second is the Community Relations Committee review of TARDA with a committee recommendation.
All right, we'll make those 11A and 11B.
Mr. Brown. To give a report on the committee of the whole meeting that was held on June 7th, pertaining to the budget of the Streets Division.
We'll make that 11C. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, I'd like to add resolution 9-2012. To the agenda to discuss, to consider a referendum on TARDA, on our continued participation in TARDA.
We'll add that as agenda item 14. Are there items from members of City Council? Seeing none, Mr. Eichenhour?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing.
Or Mr. Mall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Hearing that, is there a motion to approve our agenda as amended?
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. I'd like to add at the end a brief discussion of the county charter amendment.
We'll make that 15. Although I attended a meeting on it and I testified at it, I have not seen it. I saw that you had an email this morning that was sent to you and forwarded.
All right.
All right. With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda item 3A is to elect a president pro temp. A second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Are there any other nominations? All in favor of the nomination indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Mr. Lupke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Mr. Lupke, you're up for agenda item 4, approval of the meeting minutes from the June 4th meeting.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend or like to move that minutes of the June 4th meeting of council be approved as written. Copies have been provided in advance to members of council. They've had a chance to review them. So I'd like to recommend approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our meeting on June 4th, 2012 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Added agenda item 4A is ordinance 39-2012 for the Lawrence University PD.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as previously, I have to push with it.
My understanding from the law director, we don't have to have that vote again, but the record needs to show that Mr. Hanum has previously expressed a conflict of interest and is not a part of this discussion or action. All right. You had distributed to you via email earlier today, and I believe it was placed at your seats this evening, proposed ordinance 39-2012. Modifying the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission relative to Plan Development Application PD 1-2012 of Robert C. Helmer, President of Lawrence University, for your consideration. Mr. Moore, you want to discuss what you have in here?
What I have here is ordered legislation from the last council meeting. The legislation, I think, accurately reflects what council discussed and asked to have prepared, and it does, in its body, it contain the history of what's happened since the application was filed on March 7th.
Discussion by council.
Do we need to have some questions?
That would be appropriate to put it on the floor.
To get it on the record, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 39-2012. Modifying the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission relative to Plan Development Application PD 1-2012 of Robert C. Helmer, President of Lawrence University, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 39-2012 be read by title only and that the second and third readings be waived. Discussion. First from City Council members. Questions of the law director or the contents of the ordinance? Seeing no hands up, we'll call for the motion. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, I call for final passage for ordinance number 39-2012.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 39-2012 as an emergency measure. And there's an opportunity for discussion. First, I'll look to members of City Council if they have issues to discuss. If that'll allow people in the council chambers to speak if they have new information or thoughts about this issue. Seeing no hands, we will call the question. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 39-2012 is approved. We'll now move on to agenda item 5. This has to do with Flower Hospital lighting. Council asked the administration to contact officials of Flower Hospital and discuss the possibility of having those lights turned off earlier in the evening. We'll wait for a moment here.
And Mr. Mayor, the record will reflect on the backup.
Yes. So ordered. All right, I think we can continue with the agenda now. We are on agenda item 5 concerning Flower Hospital lighting. I am back to report on a meeting I had with Alan Sattler, president of the hospital. Council had asked me to contact the hospital and discuss the possibility with him of turning those lights off at 10 p.m. We met for over an hour and discussed the lights, the history of how they got there, the fact that they were turned down to 50% power, and he committed to keep those lights at 50% power. However, he would make no commitment, he made no response to the question of turning them off at 10 p.m. in the evening. Neither yes nor a no. So that's all I've got to say. I'm here to answer questions about that meeting. It was a very cordial meeting, but he understands my position on it, that we are not clear as to the scope of it and require them to be rolled back to 50% per the law director's report that you got a couple of council meetings ago. And then Mr. Moan, second part of the assignment for the administration was to come back with possible legislation from other communities that would help control more clearly this issue.
Yep. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My intention is to get a report back on some of the potential legislative changes we could consider, and this should probably be most appropriately handled in the Zoning and Annexation Committee. But briefly, Perrysburg had language that specifically addresses this type of tube lighting, and I could close that as a draft example. And another sector, they cover that under the building regulations section of the code. And City of Toledo chose to cover this as an unclassified sign to control the demand, naming it a prohibited type of sign under a sign code. So there are a couple of things for us to look at that we could consider, and I just wanted to be able to respond so that we would have a platform for a discussion on that committee.
All right. This is Capoli.
I have a question about the meeting. You said he didn't give a yes or a no. Did he say he was going to think about it and give you a yes or no?
He said
or
he would discuss it with his superiors at ProMet.
So there might be a time when he comes back.
That's a possibility. My impression from the body language and the response was his bosses have already said, no, they're not interested in doing that. But he did not say that. That was not his response. He had no response prepared. Mr. Haynes.
Yeah, Mr. Moan, I assume that if we were to, I'm looking at Perrysburg,
yes,
language in particular.
Yes.
I like it better. I think it's clearer than the Toledo language.
For this type of lighting, it sure does, yeah.
And I'm wondering if we would incorporate that into, and I don't know whether you thought about this, whether we would incorporate that into 1166.07 without a change in the definition of sign, or whether we need to define, change our definition of sign as well.
What's interesting is that Toledo effectively calls it, we could insert into our sign section under unregulated signs. That's how they addressed it, whereas Perrysburg really just put it under their building code section. That's why I've got some alternatives. One would be to really add it to our building code, which is basically the Ohio building code.
Right.
That's one way of doing it, because we really don't have the other more in-depth building regulations, because we just adopt what county uses. So it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. We could use the Perrysburg definition and stick it into unclassified signs and be done with it.
Well, and that might work. I guess what I would, I'm assuming we're going to have a zoning and annexation committee meeting on this.
Right.
And in doing that, and we can, we'd move to refer to zoning and annexation and set that. But when we have that meeting, I think it would be very helpful if we had proposed legislation to look at.
I can do that, but I just didn't know which pew to put it in. You're asking the right question. Whether we then call it a sign and then ban it, or whether we ban it as under some type of building code requirement. I think the sign code might be more direct.
That would be my recollection. So I appreciate the memorandum and the research. But I do like the Perrysburg language. Clearly talks about facade colors, which I like, as that clearly I think is also, you know, if we had a big red or pink strobe light on the side of our hotel, which I'm sure our owners would never do, but that would be an issue. And so I kind of like the idea of addressing this facade issue along with the lighting issue. So my thought would be we'd refer this to zoning annexation to look at some proposed legislation, hash that out so that we can get it back here and to the Planning Commission for their review and comment, so that we can get this done hopefully by Labor Day. With our meeting schedule, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
I guess the motion would be to refer it to zoning and annexation for consideration, and to request the administration to bring to that zoning annexation meeting proposed legislation amending our sign code.
Moved and seconded to refer this proposed language to the Zoning and Annexation Committee for their study and recommendation. Mm-hmm. All in favor of that referral indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 5B, we welcome back Nancy Ike. He requested to speak to us this evening. We welcome you back and anticipate that you have something new to say to us.
I hope you consider it new, but I thank you very much for allowing your time, because it is a big concern to us, and we really appreciate what you've done in approaching ProMedica again with our concerns and our thoughts about it and suggestions. And I'd just like to refer to communication, because I think it helps clarify. I know you just agreed to amend the sign code, but I think the sign code as it stands is very strong as it stands. And if Mr. Hainem communicated in a letter to my sister recently, he said, as a practicing attorney, I'm confident that the city's current sign code prohibits installation of lights like that at Flower Hospital without a sign permit. So we could say, why are the lights at Flower anyways? Because we have a caring administration who obviously cares about the beauty of Sylvania and maintaining high standards, and they're careful about sign restrictions. So again, why lights? And my thinking is that ProMedica, when they asked about the sign permit initially, I believe they misled the administration on two points. And first of it all was in how they described the lights. and the description of the lights was that it was accent lighting. And my, you know, we have a wall hanging behind our couch in the living room that Jim brought back from Africa, and it's a beautiful thing. If I wanted to access, if I wanted to bring in access lighting, that would enhance the art piece. People would come in and say, oh, what a beautiful art piece. But they wouldn't come in and say, oh, look at the lights. And obviously, you know, we look at Flower Hospital, the darker it gets, and as we go by, it's the lights that draw our attention. It's not the building. And also, so first of all, it was not clear in the description of the lights. And secondly, they weren't clear in their intention for the lights. They said the intention of the lights was to highlight architecture, and that was not the intention at all. When we first went to ProMedica with our petition of 52 names of unhappy neighbors, they took our concerns very seriously. And Pam, I don't know her last name, but Tim Langhurst sat down with us. And at that time, he said, well, I just want to tell you our position. The reason why we have the lights is for branding. It is for branding. It's so people can readily identify ProMedica. What he means by that, if somebody's over at Toledo Hospital, they know it's ProMedica that's serving them. They can drive past Flower Hospital and they know ProMedica is there too. Or ProMedica's over at St. Luke's. That was their whole intention, is branding. So if ProMedica would have been clear in their description and clear in their intent, they would have been told that a sign permit was needed and the correct process of going before the Architectural Review Board would have been followed. It's kind of like when your teenage daughter comes to you and says, you know, Mom, Dad, can I get a ride to school with Tammy in the morning? What she's not telling you is that there's going to be four boys in the car and that Tammy only has a learning board and that she likes to text while she's driving. You know, she's not giving you those additional details. So if ProMedica and Flower Hospital would have approached the city and told them that they intended to outline every horizontal elevation of Flower Hospital in fluorescent LED tube sign lights so that the community can easily identify the corporation of ProMedica, they would have met with a different response from the city initially. You know, clearly they would have been told they need a sign permit. A sign code of the city does not have to be rewritten. I don't think it has to be rewritten in order to address the issue. The sign code clearly prohibits this type of lights that are displayed at Flower Hospital. We don't have to change the sign code in order to accommodate ProMedica. The sign code is a matter of public record. There was no need for ProMedica to ask whether they needed a permit. The legislation is clear in itself to show that they clearly needed a permit. It's like if somebody phoned the mayor's office and said, or said to the mayor, what's the speed limit down on Central Avenue? Anyways, the mayor says, well, I think it's 50 miles an hour or something like that. And out in the country, it might be. But if you're down in the city and you're trying to go 50 miles an hour, you're still going to get a ticket, even if the mayor tells you, you know, he thinks it's 50 miles an hour. So the law stands. Clearly, lights that are visible for miles and have a visual impact on the community for the purpose of identifying a company or an enterprise needs to meet with the approval of the city. Companies come and go, but the community is here to stay. And I just say to the council, you know, what is the legacy that we're leaving behind? My dad was referred to in one of the first times we talked. My dad was Robert Garrison, who served the city years ago. It's now 13 years since he passed away this year. And but he, in the business he was in, is a cemetery business. So he knew how short this life is, and he's always been very mindful of what we leave behind. You know, what do we leave behind us? And like I said, companies come and go. You know, 4 to 5 years from now, ProMedica might sell to another company, but the lights will still be there. Are you happy? Are you happy to let it stay like that? You know, just think about, you know, your living room, you open your eyes and there's a BP station right in front of your window. So the sign code is very clear as it is written. Green world fluorescent LED sign lights displayed as they are at Flower Hospital for the sake of readily identifying a company are prohibited. So if the sign codes and city regulations and ordinances are going to maintain integrity, these green light signs at Flower must come down.
Thank you for your comments. are kind of separate.
For the record, my name is Norm Kennick-Secker. I live at 6311 Oakland Court on the corner, which is directly across from Farm Hospital. And I first want to go on record by saying I was never invited to any of these meetings by the neighborhood. I knew nothing about any of the meetings or any of the problems until I saw signs go up down in Rouge Road. So first of all, I was not a part of any of this. Secondly, the lights on the entry sign, to me, are much brighter than the green lights on the hospital. I don't have a problem with the green lights on the hospital. I don't know about the sign code, whether they meet the code or they don't. They don't affect me one way or the other. I don't really care. I don't know why they spend the money, but to me, that's not my business. I don't have a problem with it. So I just want to go on record. I'm not trying to start a fight with any of the other neighbors that are fighting me, but I just want to go on record by saying that there are people in that neighborhood that can live with them just fine. And I'm going to thank you.
All right. Thank you. Obviously, people can have different opinions about the same thing, whether it applies in the code or not. Mr. Reich, you've spoken to us. Wait a minute. You've spoken to us several times. Council knows very clearly what your feelings are. Do you have something new to say? All right, I will stop you if you go backwards to things we already know. And I'm very concerned that you're carrying up papers to read off.
You know, Homedic can do a good job in the community. You know, we provide a lot of jobs. We're not against them per se. But it's just on this issue. And when we talked to ProMedica Town, the VP, she said we want to be good neighbors. And this is what we're asking them to do, is to turn these lights off, prove that they're good neighbors. We don't want the curfew on the lights, because it's like you get a yapping dog 12 hours next door and they hold it in at 10 o'clock, you still have to put up with 6 hours of that yapping dog. If I had the main street store there at a hardware, and I put these kind of lights on, the same kind of scenario happened, how it happened if I got through, I'm pretty sure you'd ask me to switch them all, just on the code that we have now. So, you know, just because there's a lot of money behind ProMedica doesn't mean they're not accountable to the sort of city ordinances. So again, we're looking for your trust, and we didn't know this, that when ProMedica initially approached you, they said it would be tasteful lighting. I don't think it is tasteful. He said it would be a credit to ProMedica. I don't believe that is. He said it would be high appealing accent to find facilities, and as Lancy already pointed out, the building disappears and the lights is what we see. So they become an eyesore. It looks like a vacation resort, a casino, and it doesn't look like a hospital. If you know, you don't go to a hospital for a vacation. Some might think otherwise, you know, but and you don't go to a you don't go there to gamble. You might think otherwise too when you go for an operation, but we're not trying to put the blame on anybody at this stage, but you know, we're looking for an answer. We don't want it to be keep procrastinating with it. You don't want to keep seeing my face. I can sense that. But I mean, it's like, all right, then let's have the right decision on this. And on the memorandum, and May 17, 2012, the director of law to the mayor and the council, he says Flower Hospital Medica did not file an application for a sign permit for the installation of lighting. No detailed description, plan, designs, or specifications were submitted to the city for review. And it says on Lake Electric obtained electric permit from the Lucas County Building Regulations, September 6, 2011, and during the same time frame, Flower Hospital filed an application for variance with the City Board of Appeals, seeking a variance for signage replacement in the exterior of Flower Hospital. A hearing was held on the application September 7, 2011, and the variance was approved by to pivot more signs in a lot or sign mounted on the roof of the building. The issue of lighting to be installed on the top of Flower Hospital was not addressed. The renderings of the proposed signage prepared by Toledo Sign did not reflect any lighting at the top of the building. It appears to have not been discussed. And Toledo Sign, they know they need a permit. They know they should have gone for approval on this. So in September 2011, Flower Hospital filed an application for the Board of Architects review for a certificate of appropriateness for the signage, which was granted by the Board of Architects review. A subsequent sign fit was granted on November 9, 2011, which did not reflect anything concerning the lighting on the top of the building. So I think a big mistake was made there. There was no plan, there was no drawing, there was no approval for that.
Mr. Wright, I've let you speak 4 minutes now, and you've read back the law director's report from a month ago. That's not new information. If you have something new to say, I'll let you keep speaking, but you've made your position very clear previously.
Oh, okay. Do you want something new? I went around on Sunday, the sign that existed. They've got about 20 signs around the hospital, and I just took pictures of 17 of them. There's about 618 square feet just with these signs right here. They only allow one sign for 250 feet. So they're way over on that. The signs that were submitted to the city for the new signs on top, they're 998 square feet. And then the new tube signs, you've got like 300 square feet on top. So, I mean, it's way over what could be allowed. I'm going to pass that out to you. And also that I looked up this kind of lighting, and it describes them as LED tube sign light. I'm going to submit that to you, the evidence as well.
All right, while you're handing that out, council, I think, knows the direction of signage is not what's governed by the sign code. It does need to be approved, but it's not limited when it's directional signage. Identification signage is what's limited. The sign up on top of the hospital went to the Board of Zoning Appeals specifically because it was larger than was permitted by the code and was approved.
But Doug said, you know, they agreed these are signs. You can't get around that, you know.
I haven't seen your pictures yet. I just know the directional signs are not included.
But anyway, bottom line, we ask that they just list off, you know.
Thank you. Mr. Lubell, you've also spoken before. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Moore.
Please come up. My apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My schedule has prevented me from coming to these meetings before, but I want to just take 30 seconds and say I've been a resident of Sylvania for about 30 years, or 20 years now, and my address is 5055 Haroon, so we live right across from Lake Park and enjoy living there and would like to stay there. And I just want to express my agreement with Mr. and Mrs. Ike that the signage is really objectionable from the standpoint of our living there. And I'm very grateful for your willingness tonight to refer this to the Annexation Committee. I don't understand all that, but it sounds like it's a step in the right direction. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. One more gentleman.
I'm Marilyn Carroll. I don't live over on Haroon Road or Oakland Court, but do you people ever consider, instead of my way or the highway, talking to the people and saying, well, can you put a rheostat on those lights? At 8 o'clock, we turn them down to a certain percentage. 9 o'clock, we drop them a little more. 10 o'clock, but where they are so dim, and at midnight or 11:30 when people are trying to sleep, they are just enough to give a little bit of illumination and not be glaring out into their homes. Is that a possibility to think of?
Actually, they are dimmable. They've been dim 50% already. But your idea of dimming them more as the evening progresses is a new idea. And I will take that back to the Flower Hospital Administration as well.
And you know, the way I look at it, you know, I realize we've been whipped on lords. These people here, I hate like the devil for those people. So those people, we get whipped also. Because there is a time to sleep and everything else, and they don't really need that bright of a light out there at midnight and thereabouts. They could turn it down to barely a glow. And I think that might satisfy some of these people. Because I'm sure you probably would not appreciate it yourself if somebody stood out there at your bedroom window and shined a big spotlight in there all night long. I wouldn't. I don't know about you people.
Well, I don't think that's a fair comparison, because if somebody did that, they would be stopped. This is not a spotlight right outside somebody's bedroom window.
But it is just as bright.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay, everybody's
entitled to their opinion, but no, I don't think it is.
I'm trying to predict what... I heard nobody mention one thing about dimming a little bit more as time goes on.
I think that's a good idea, and we'll take that back. All right. I don't see any more hands in the audience. Council have any more comments? Seeing none, thank you for attending on that issue, but we're going to move on to agenda item 6 at this time. Agenda item 6 has to do with River Trail Phase 1 improvements. And we have a report in here from the service director concerning a necessary change order at this point. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The River Trail project, as you all know, is very close to completion. Just a few minor details to be wrapped up yet. The change order that we have before you is the final change order on the project. It takes into account all of the overruns, underruns on quantities installed, additional work that was needed, and things of that nature. The primary reason for this additional change order is once the excavation started in the area of the River Trail, a lot of concrete, more than had originally been estimated. You know, what's underground is kind of unknown until you dig it up. So we had, approximately $31,000 in additional work from the excavation and the disposal of that concrete. We've also had several items that were under the big quantities, but that's the lion's share of this final change. Everything has gone very well on the project. The contractor has been exceptional to work with, and I would recommend approval of change order number 2 in the amount of $19,668.40.
This is Kevin. I'll
make one comment. I was a little skeptical when we gave the bid out to Hank's Plumbing and Heating Company. The name itself made me skeptical that they could handle a project this size, but after going through the River Trail, seeing the quality of work, you know, I would recommend them also anytime. You know, it's just one of those name recognition things that bothered me at the time, but they did an excellent job.
All right, we do have ordinance 35-2012 to authorize this final change order. I still can't remember whether Mrs. Capellini or Mr. Lucchi have been reading ordinances. So whoever between you wants to read this, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 35-2012. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 2, final, to the city's agreement with Hanks Plumbing and Heating Company for the River Trail Improvements Phase 1 project, which reflects the actual materials used and work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $19,668.49, appropriating funds, therefore waiving a second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 35-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I'd like to move final passage, ordinance number 35-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 35-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 35-2012 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 7, has to do with our new 2 million gallon elevated water tank. Again, we have a report from the service director, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The electrical service for the elevated tank is the starting point, if you will, is over near the existing restrooms at Fossil Park. And then the service line will go from that point around the parking lot into the tank. It was originally anticipated that that work was performed by Digital Edison as the meter setting will be set at the elevated tank itself. That is no longer the case. Digital Edison has informed us that that's a customer responsibility because we're coming off of the existing ground level transformer. So that work needs to be added to the contractor's scope of work, and this change order in the amount of $39,308.85 is for that work. That is a not to exceed figure. We've tracked the time and material that it actually takes to perform the work as an estimate. But it was added in the original scope for the contractor, and therefore we recommend approval for the change order.
Mr. Eller, I believe this change really came about because of deregulation of electrical supply in Ohio. It does not surprise me. When I design a new building, this is a charge that we do have. The owner does have to pay. It's unfortunate that that's the way we do it. So I also recommend approval of change order number 1. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance 36-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 1 to this city's agreement with CB&I Constructors Incorporated for the 2 million gallon elevated water tank project, which reflects work to be performed on this project, increasing the contract in the amount by $39,308.85, appropriating funds, therefore waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
And moved and seconded in ordinance number 36-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage ordinance 36-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 36-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 36-2012 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8. The finance director has talked to us previously about refinancing some existing bonds to a lower interest rate and saving the city a considerable amount in interest payments. Mr. Smith, why don't you describe that again, and then we'll go through the process.
All right, so we're going to refund the 2004 bonds that were issued for the road car benefits. As a result of the refunding, the net present value benefit is 9.7%. The cash flow benefit is $374,000. So we'll be saving between $30,000 and $35,000 a year in interest costs after the refund.
For how many years?
So 12 years left to the
We've been through the process before, what's necessary to sell bonds. The first one is to accept the fiscal officer's certificate of the issuance and sale of the bonds for the purpose of refunding at a lower interest cost. And this needs to be a roll call vote. But I need a motion to be moved and seconded.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move approval of the fiscal officer's certificate.
Second. Moved and seconded to accept the fiscal officer's certificate. The clerk, please call the roll.
Westfall, yes.
Yes.
Engel.
Yes.
Kathleen, yes. Brown.
Yes. The vote is 6-0, and that fiscal officer's certificate is accepted by motion. Then item 8B is ordinance 37-2012, providing for the issuance and sale of the proposed bonds. Mr. Lukey, I'm going to look to you as president pro tem.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 37-2012. An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of bonds in the maximum principal amount of $3,800,000 for the purpose of refunding at a lower interest cost certain of the city's outstanding street improvement bonds, series 2004, dated April 28, 2004, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. And moved and seconded that ordinance number 37-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 37-2012.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, this needs to be a roll call vote also. So the clerk, please call the roll.
Is this for the first motion to discuss second and third reading?
I'm sorry, when do you need a roll call vote? I'm sorry, I need to vote back up to the first motion.
Okay.
And re-vote that as a roll call vote. That vote was to read by title only and waive the second and third readings. The clerk, please call the roll.
Brown.
Yes.
Kathleen.
Yes.
Engel.
Yes.
Lukey.
Yes.
Westfall.
Yes.
Hussman.
Yes.
That vote is 6-0. Now we can proceed with the vote for final passage of ordinance 37-2012 as already moved and seconded. Will the clerk please call the roll again?
Engel.
Yes.
Capolini, yes. Brown.
Yes.
Hussman.
Yes.
Westfall.
Yes.
Lukey.
Yes.
And the vote is 6-0. So all this is approved. Mr. Smith, what is your sale date?
July 12th.
July 12th. All right. Very good.
I just want to note that I thank the administration for being diligent and discovering that this option opportunity was available to us. Certainly I grumble when we spend money, and it's worth giving a pat on the back when you say this. Thank you very much. Appreciate your hard work.
Thank you. I appreciate Mr. Smith bringing this to our attention, and he indicates that there is not as rigorous a process for refinancing as there would have been for new bonds.
Yes, I mean, one of our college rating agency on Friday, but we've got a lot of refinancing going on in our short.
So we anticipate no issues with the same. All right, well, we're ready to move on to agenda item 9. This is an annual ordinance to approve, adopt, and enact the curb replacement pages to codify ordinances. Mr. Moe, why don't you describe this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as we do every year, the state of Ohio routinely changes their state statutes, and this is our reconciling of the changes statewide to apply to our particular municipal code for our police officers to be able to use to stay consistent with the state code. Attached to the ordinance is our office's summary of the amendments and additions, and unless someone has a specific question about any of them, they're nothing more than to recite the state code changes.
Big night for President Pro Tem. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 38-2012, an ordinance to approve, adopt, and enact current replacement pages to the codified ordinance, to repeal ordinances in conflict therewith, to publish the enactment of new matter, and waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Sir. Moved and seconded that ordinance number 38-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 38-2012.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 38-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 38-2012 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 10, we have a service director's report concerning the Safe Routes to Schools bid. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I would like to apologize to council and mayor. I realized that I walked in this evening that I did not have a memo that I prepared explaining the status of this project. The status is we received bids on June 13th, and actually going back to June 7th, we had not had a single contractor take hands out on the project that had been advertised for over 2 weeks. I placed some phone calls, we sent some faxes to contractors that have bid similar projects in other cities, and that resulted in one contractor. I'm going to speak in round numbers because I don't have that number. The engineer's estimate on the project is roughly $182,000. The bid that was submitted was $246,000. Even if we wanted to, which I wouldn't recommend, we would not be able to award the project in excess of 10% over the engineer's estimate on the project. Our consultant has taken a look at where the breakdowns were, if we were in the bid, we've identified where those are. At this stage, our only option is to re-advertise the project. We will be more diligent in trying to create more interest in the project. The engineer's estimate will in all likelihood be increased. I think part of the problem in the bids were the contractor that had plans had such a short time to really pull subcontractors right behind them that they don't perform. So at this stage, rejection of the bid is our only option, and that's basically done by not taking action. And then I'm asking permission to re-advertise the project so that we can get that process started prior to our July 9th. And I apologize for not having
that. You know, we've had a wonderful bidding climate for some time because of the recession, but it's getting late in the bidding season for a highway project, especially with a lot of safe route to school projects around the state. I think that the state got us to the late date because of the late approval of the drawings. We just need to try again to get this project bid completed as soon as we can. So I recommend the service director's request that you authorize him to rebid for this project.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're now down to agenda item 11, committee reports, and we had three additions there. First is 11A, a report of the Economic Development Subcommittee. Mr. Lutke.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the Economic Development Subcommittee met at 7 p.m. on June 11th to hear a preliminary final report from Pogelmeier Design regarding the downtown plan. There was a presentation by Danielle from Pogelmeier, questions from council, some minimum number of comments from citizens who are here. And generally speaking, the committee determined the following next steps: to allow a public comment period on the downtown plan through June 30th. Plan has been sent via email to a number of stakeholders and also is posted on the city's website. And interested parties are recommended to direct their comments to Mr. Sanford. We've also asked Mr. Moan to review the elements of the report on a legal basis to assure that the language in the report conforms to what the city can legally do. Did I say that right, Mr. Hanum? And that the Economic Development Subcommittee schedule a meeting for early July and make it in conjunction with the downtown stakeholders to discuss a possible recommendation to City Council. So with that said, I think we need to schedule a meeting of the Economic Development Subcommittee for, let's say, the week of July 9th. Katie, I have to ask you this every time. What's the best time to meet with the downtown merchants? Is it morning or afternoon?
Depends on who we're inviting if we're thinking that we want business owners.
Yes.
It's either early or late. It's either 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock before or after business hours.
Okay. How do members of council feel about 8 o'clock on either the 11th or 12th? Yeah. Of July. Mr. Brown doesn't seem to care.
Those are both okay with me.
Every day is a Saturday, isn't it, Mr. Brown? Yeah.
And it was one of the days, Wednesday, the
12th. The 12th is actually not so good because you have staff.
Right, and the 11th, there is a Sylvania Community Improvement Corporation Executive Committee meeting at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
Unless they cancel it for the summer, but I suspect they won't.
How about Tuesday the 10th for folks?
Okay.
Okay with you? 8 a.m. Tuesday the 10th.
All right. The clerk, it's in my book as well. We'll have to meet in a different room.
Ooh.
Because the county auditor is using our council chambers that entire week, I believe, to listen to appeals of property tax payments, evaluations.
Okay.
Could we do it at 8:15 on that morning? I have an 8 o'clock drop off.
Sure. Is there another downtown location where we can do this?
This board pickup
line
with the hotel.
Where do the schools meet? Do you still meet in the high school? Or is there a room over there?
In the Zoom conference room in the new administration.
Is there a room?
Yeah, it's an inside room.
Is it upstairs or downstairs? Yeah, and you go through the Sylvania Community Service.
Board of Education main entrance and walk to the north, the back.
Would that hold 25 people?
Oh, absolutely. That's where they hold their court meeting.
Could, Margie, could you call over there and see if we could use that room and notice if they're there, if possible? 8:15 on Tuesday, July 10th. And Bill, could you be responsible for notifying our downtown folks? Okay. That's the report from that committee.
We'll move on to agenda item 11B, which is a report of the Community Relations Committee concerning TARDA.
Right. The Community Employee and Community Relations Committee met on June 6th for a second meeting related to TARDA and the city's continuing involvement in TARDA and the broader question of public transportation. It was a second meeting, and it was a meeting to hear from staff of TARDA. When Mr. Ramsdell was here the first time, there were a number of questions that came from council that he couldn't answer, and I believe we asked him to bring some folks from the TARDA staff, and he did. Mr. Gee was with us along with two other gentlemen who represented some staff planning capabilities within TARDA. They did a fairly comprehensive presentation. There were some questions from council. Mr. Hanum raised the issue of his initiative, which is on the agenda as Resolution 9-2012 tonight. And there was quite a bit of discussion about the immediate interest in putting this on the ballot versus the interest of studying it a little bit further. I had to leave the meeting early, but Mrs. Husband provided me some background, and I also listened to the tape. And although there was no formal vote, it seems like two issues arose from the conversation at the end of the meeting. First of all, the need to have further discussion about the broad issue of public transportation with some of our community stakeholders, specifically mentioned were Lourdes, Kingston, the Senior Center, the public schools, to get their views on public transportation. And then secondly, set up a meeting with the township trustees to have some discussion about the potential option of integrating service with them. I believe subsequent to that, their discussions have moved forward, and there may be an issue on the ballot on their agenda tomorrow night. Is Mr. Simplos, Mr. Hammond, do you have an issue on your agenda tomorrow night?
Sure.
But then, no, despite what he says, I think there was an interest in talking with the trustees. Mr. Hammond.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and council members of council. Yes, tomorrow night they did put it on the ballot. There will be a vote of we're going to put it on the ballot in November. It has to be on, like I said, by August 9th, which is 90 days before the election. Therefore, you have a limited window to put it on the ballot. The thing that disappoints me is they did promise the public when they pulled it off the ballot, they're going to look at an alternate, and there's no alternate. Mm-hmm. The new Randy Gardner amendment to the budget was to allow for at the same time the question of opting out and putting a levy on to have your own, you know, public transportation service, which none of the other two trustees are going to go forward with. So I just want to let you know that. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Any questions?
No, thank you. That's perfect. Thank you very much. The two other talking points that came out of the meeting were some discussion briefly with TARDA about whether they'd be interested in funding and helping develop a suburban model within TARDA. And secondly, some discussion of a study that was done by the city of Perrysburg to look at their various options for public transportation. So that said, I believe it's fair to say that the consensus of the group is to have some further discussion about TARDA and public transportation. And you know, clearly, other members of the committee who are there can add their piece. But I guess what I'd like to do, Mr. Mayor, for the purposes of discussion, is suggest that as a follow-up to this committee meeting, we send the TARDA issue to a joint community relations and utilities, since this really lapses over into a public utility concept, those two committees to discuss further what we need to determine from an information standpoint in order to move forward on this project. I have to say, too, I think there was not any disagreement that this should be an issue for the ballot. I think the question was timing. So, absent any other discussion, I'd like to make that recommendation.
This is on the agenda again, agenda item 14.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you want to combine the two conversations.
That's up to you.
Mr. Hanum, I don't know whether you're prepared to do that at this time.
I can do that, yeah. My understanding is that the trustees will move forward to place this on the ballot in November. I think that's as I indicated before, I think that's the appropriate time for the city of Sylvania to vote on this issue. I have, and I see the voting on TARDA and our continued participation in TARDA as entirely separate from issues regarding alternative services and whether alternative services are available. I'm comfortable about two things. One is that there are private transportation alternatives that are available by contract. By both TTL and Black and White and other private cab services. Certainly those cost more than current TARDA service, but our current TARDA service is not used much in Sylvania. And to the extent that it is, there is a private alternative available today. to the extent that a TARPS service, TARPS-type service, this was determined to be desirable by this council. I'm also confident, based upon the discussions I've had with, again, both TTL and Black and White, that those services are available and could be secured at a for the more limited community that would be serviced by TARPS at a cost significantly less than the cost of current participation in TARDA. But I can't emphasize enough, I really don't think any of that is relevant to the issue of whether we let our neighbors decide whether they want to be in TARDA after 40 years. I've told you, a number of you, that it's my expectation that Sylvania would choose to stay in TARDA, making a lot of work on alternatives, kind of wasted and unnecessary. But clearly, there are alternatives, and there are alternatives that, on a more limited basis. From my discussions with the folks in Perrysburg, I don't think they have come up with a general public transportation alternative that is as good as TARDA or cost competitive with TARDA. But again, I can't emphasize enough, I don't think that's the issue. The issue is whether we vote on it in November or not. And we can vote on it later, but I don't think anything that we're going to develop between now and a year from now, when we would have to make a decision whether we're going to put it on the ballot, would make me feel any better about putting it on the ballot. So I do intend to introduce Resolution 9-2012, which I circulated a week ago. I would hope that we could move forward with it. If it would be council's preference, I would be more than happy to do a first reading so that we could have a more comprehensive public discussion of this in at our one scheduled meeting in July. But if council's wish is to just put this off beyond November, I'd just soon have it up and either not get a second or have a down vote on it and move on. I don't need to beat the dead horse. But that's my view about TARP.
Mr. Lukey, we're actually in your committee report.
Mm-hmm.
You had made a said let's refer to a combined committee.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they're mutually exclusive. I think Doug's point is that if we want to, we can expedite it and have the discussion. I guess just let me speak to Doug's comments. I think that all of the things he mentioned are absolutely the point of this. Minimally, we need to create a situation where voters can make an informed decision about what they're voting on. And half of the vote is that we want to stay in or get out of TARDA. I think the other half is that are we getting out to simply close it down in Sylvania, or getting out and moving on to something better. I would agree with Mr. Hanum that it seems like they haven't done a particularly comprehensive job in Perrysburg, because what they're left with there is a Perrysburg transportation system that's going to be where the citizens are going to be asked to tax themselves to pay for it. I'm not sure that that's what those folks had in mind when they voted to get out of TARDA. On the other hand, I think that we uncovered some very interesting possibilities in the meeting the other week, including the possibility of having TARDA pay for some sort of a customized public transportation system for the city of Sylvania and similar suburbs. They didn't close the door on that, and they said that potentially the funding for that could come from TARDA. I think that's an important, incredibly important factor for folks to consider as they vote on whether to stay in or out of TARDA, and that's not going to be put together overnight. So, at the very least, I'd like to recommend that we refer this to a joint Community Relations Utilities Committee for study. We can then vote on Doug's proposal after that.
I'll second that.
I think that was a motion.
Yeah, it was a motion.
For that joint committee. Further discussion? All right, there's a motion on the floor to refer this issue to a joint employee and community relations committee and public utility committee meeting. All in favor of that indicate?
Wait a minute, I thought the issue was alternative service, not this issue.
The issue of alternative service. Now, I was not, I had no way intended to have that include your.
I didn't mean to say something. You're still on the agenda to introduce your resolution.
Thank you.
So all in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So referred.
Okay, so I'm pretty done now, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We do have an 11C on the agenda, and that's reported on the committee of the whole. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. President of Council Vilner asked me in his absence to give a report on the committee of the whole we had on June 7th, 2012 at 7:32 in the morning. The reason for the committee of the whole was to discuss the street division budget. Kevin primarily ran the discussion and presented to us a list of personnel presently employed by the city working for the streets and maintenance division. At the present time, there are 15 employees. There was a comparison made to the Oregon system that has 27 employees. It was difficult to make a comparison against Maumee and Perrysburg because during the summer they use a lot of temporary help rather than we use full-time. But 15 employees, it is a considerable amount less than the 27 employees that they presently have in Oregon. He also presented a personnel projection of years of service of each one of the people in the 15, and we're pretty balanced at the present time. There's 24 that have 25 years of service and more, only one with 20, and the other 10 are 15 or less. The largest group was 5 years or less, so I think we're in pretty good shape. There was a couple potential retirements coming up, public works servicemen of one, and a possible superintendent who has 32 years of service. He didn't feel that the superintendent would probably opt for retirement at the present time. Let's see. We then reviewed overtime, and one of the significant increases in overtime was for special events that we're having in the city. We all know we're trying to promote our city, and it's caused us to have special events escalated, and that causes for overtime within the street department putting up barricades and stuff. It's give an example, in 2010 it was $6,675 for overtime for special events. It's projected that this year it'll be close to $12,000. But it's due to the increase in special events plus inflationary factors that goes into it. They are looking at their overtime, trying to cut it wherever possible. One of the great effects on our overtime is how severe our winters are going to be, and we really can't. We had a pretty mild winter this year, last winter, but you know, who knows with 2012 with rain. They have planned in the budget for increased overtime based on weather, so there could be some savings if we have a similar winter to what we had last year. We also reviewed capital expenditures for the last 5 years. Most of the expenditures that were made were to make the department more efficient. And Kevin believes that all the capital expenditures has helped the department become more efficient and more effective in doing their job around the city. The next item that was reviewed was the 5-year capital improvement and maintenance plan. On that plan, for the year 2012, there's $295,000, still of projects that have either been authorized or will be authorized. Of the $295,000, $127,000, or $130,000 actually, with the other in there, will be funded through grants or other sources of money. 2013, there's $1,379,000, over $766,000 of that will be hopefully offset with grants. 2014, it was $950,000 in capital improvements, and hopefully we'll have $747,000 in grants to offset that. And I think 2015 is a little far out to go, but that was only $250,000 in capital improvements with $185,000 in possible grants. We also suggested that the mill and fill program that is not in the budget for 2012 be re-put into the budget just for general maintenance and productivity of our employees. Kevin is looking at ways of putting the mill and fill back into the budget without increasing the budget, am I correct on that, through other savings in other departments. I think that's a great thing to do. We don't want our streets to deteriorate to the that we have to put a major amount of money into them if we can fix them with a mill and fill.
We spent well over a decade getting the streets back in condition. Yeah. We don't want them to go.
Okay. Kevin has also done a review of the streets in the community, and he's finding some of those streets that were on capital improvement estimates or five-year plan are in better shape than what they were projected to be in, you know, in years to come. So they've been removed from our capital improvements and helps us save some money that way. He has also conducted, several other reviews of the streets to make sure that those streets that are going to be attacked or fixed are the ones that require it the most. We also looked at operational improvements, and he gave a list of things that they're looking at and trying to improve the operations of the department. One was the increase the size of the leaf boxes by 24%. Start later in the year. The first couple of weeks that we collect, we're going around, just driving around. There's not very many leaves in the street, so we're going to start at a later date. I suppose that all depends on the weather. If it gets cold quick, then, you know. He's also put in place the street sweeping program. He's done a reduction in the number of hours that the street sweeper is out cleaning the streets. And he's also doing a test on heavy-duty oil in our equipment to see if we can get a longer life out of the oil and test the oil and not replace it. And he's also running a scatter test for the salt spreaders to make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck on scattering the salt in the winter and we're just not overloading some areas and not. He's running a test on that. He estimates that all the different improvements that they've looked at this year and some of the cost-cutting measures that he can reduce his budget in the street department by an estimated $120,000. We also are going to have a six-month review of actuals, I believe in July, and we've asked the accounting department to put together, you know, what the actuals are so we see how well we're doing with the budget in for the year 2012. One thing we would like noted on that budget in an asterisk is of the capital improvement projects, the figures of the grants that we might be getting so we can see what the actual figures would be if the grants, you know, if we did get the grants to do the projects or grants that have already been approved for projects that are in the process right now. We understood that, you know, based on accounting for municipalities that they can't list that because grants are not always possible, even if you think you're gonna get them. So, but we would like to see those as an aspect in the report. And if there is nothing else to add from any of the council members who were there, this is my final report.
A very thorough report.
Thank you.
Well done. All right. Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Agenda item 12 is committee referrals. Any other referrals to be made at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to added agenda item 13, which is a report of the public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, I realize we referred something to the Zoning and Annexation Committee earlier, and I don't think we... Yeah, the lighting.
And I think that was referred by motion already.
You didn't schedule.
No, we didn't schedule, I think. Since we have that committee referral, maybe it would be a good time to...
Certainly.
Set that hearing. And Mr. Roman, how much time do you need to draft this with the installation?
A week. Anytime, a week from now, around this time.
How about the first week of July after the 4th of July week for people of out of town?
Can we have a committee of the whole meeting on the 5th? After the 4th is better than the first 2 days of the week.
Well, how about the Friday at 6th at 8 o'clock here? Yeah. No. Okay. Well, then how about this? How about that week of the 9th didn't sound like that was going to work very well. We've got to keep it scheduled.
Do we have to do it in the morning?
We could. What about the afternoon of the 5th? That's a 4:30?
You're probably on the side of the table, right?
Yeah. In chambers at 4:30.
On the 5th.
On the 5th.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I think we're ready to move on to added agenda item 13, which is a report on the public hearing concerning ordinance 25-2012. Mr. Lukey. Or Mrs. Westfall.
Yes.
She actually ran that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Today, Monday, June 18th, 2012, we held a public hearing at 7:15 on ordinance 25-2012, amending section 1103.022, demolition of structures. And out of that meeting, I'd like to order legislation that recommends a 30-day waiting period for a demolition permit to be issued for all structures built more than 65 years prior to the request for a demolition permit through the City of Sylvania.
It's a motion to prepare legislation for our next meeting. Is there a second?
Is that different than what was attached?
Don't we have legislation?
We have legislation, but not modifying the recommendation of the Plan Commission.
It's going to modify it. It's going to change it from 75 to 65.
And you need language about modifying it.
Right, and I want to reflect the hearing and so on anywhere as possible. So,
do you have a second?
Okay, it's moved and seconded to prepare, I think probably to modify ordinance number 25-2012 for our next council meeting to reflect the public hearing. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then on to added agenda item 14, concerning a proposed resolution 9-2012 concerning withdrawing from TARDA. Mr. Hayner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've already addressed the topic of this issue, so I'll just go ahead and move adoption of resolution 9-2012. All members of the council, having previously received copies, I will speak by title only, placing the issues of the city's continued membership in the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority, TARDA, and relief from TARDA property taxes on the ballot pursuant to ORC section 306.55 and waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
For purposes of discussion, I'll second that.
It's moved and seconded. Discussion.
Well, I can discuss that. I'm going to vote against this, and my reason is that I think it's a disservice to our citizens not to gather all the information we can before we ask them to vote on this very important issue. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think we can go to school on what the other communities in TARDA are doing and will do in the next year. I don't see why we need to rush to judgment as to, I don't see any advantages of doing it now. Maybe someone can explain why there is an advantage of not just taking all the information we can from what other communities are doing or not doing and use that information for our citizens so that they can make their own good judgment once we've given them the information or let the information arise to the top.
Further discussion? Mr. Lukey, you've seconded this for some discussion, but I believe we do need to vote on the motion.
Yes, sir.
So, it's been moved and seconded that resolution 9-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Brown?
No.
Capellini?
No.
Hano?
Yes.
Lukey?
No.
Westfall?
No.
Kessler?
No.
Vote is 1-5 and that motion fails. There's no further vote to be taken at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. And then moving on to added agenda item 15, the Lucas County Charter Amendment. Mr. Hayner.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I got a call today from a reporter asking me about some of my thoughts about the proposed charter amendment, and I pointed out that I hadn't seen the proposed charter amendment, and I was advised that there was a petition being circulated, and I had not seen that, and the reporter agreed to forward it to me, and so I forwarded that by email to you all here. One of the things I don't know is, I did a quick read of it, and it is interesting. There are a number of things here that I would have questions about. They're being generous, I'd have questions about. I think the committee was here last fall, maybe in might have been November. I can't remember exactly when it was. At some point, and I don't know, I guess they're trying to get this on the ballot, and they're trying to submit petitions before the 4th of July, I think by the end of June. If they're successful in that, at that point, I suppose we could invite them back. That, if you recall, we posed a number of questions about the idea that they were going to get back to us on it. I'm sure they're busy collecting signatures right now, so this is probably not the best time to have them back. But I would like to put that sort of on our radar screen, that we could invite them back in the event they're successful in getting this on the ballot.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, my impression is that they took a number of the comments that we made here under advisement. I believe we were the first city council that came and spoke to, and specifically Doug's questions about home rule and whether this challenged the prerogatives of home rule, I think at the time kind of took them aback, because it seemed to me that they were having a caucus right here in the middle of council trying to answer that. But I think they've tightened it up a bit, and it's a very interesting proposition. I think some of the, we haven't heard much from them lately. I think some of the things that it really could do, interestingly, is provide more representation at the county level for the suburbs. There are a couple of county council districts that are tailor-made for suburban representation. I think it provides some diversity a couple of other ways, too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they do get their petitions done, and I would encourage us to have them back here, if it makes it to the ballot, to brief us on what it represents.
I agree. I have not heard a lot about this issue for a few months, but I do know they're gathering signatures. They came to the architects, our Minister of Architects chapter meeting, and talked about this. Of course, I testified on it a year ago or so. I guess we'll watch, and if we need to have them back, we will. Has anybody at the table been asked to sign the petition?
I
don't think it's been presented. Or not, you're very... I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know what their process is, but I think I was approached downtown by a supporter.
All right. Very good. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Are there any other issues at this time? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Clerk Lund wants me to remind you of the official council photo scheduled prior to our next council meeting on the 16th at 6 p.m. In the past, you've met out in front of City Hall, weather permitting. Now we'll be back in this room at 6:30 p.m. for a picture with council and the administration. July 16th at 6 p.m. Our next council meeting is on July 16th at 7:30 p.m. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next scheduled meeting on Monday, July 16th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.